Oh, that was the real countdown. Your countdown was like, it was like 3, 2, and then like a minute and a half later, the music starts. Hey, welcome back to Stream of Consciousness, everybody. I am Joey, the Canopy Stout. This is Joel, the Can of Peacocks. And hey, Joel, what are we talking about today?
A little behind the magic scenes. The recorder, for some reason, is getting slower and slower after I hit the record button to start. So.
Oh, look at that. We're having technical difficulties. It's been a while since we've had some like serious technical difficulties.
No, it's not serious. I just think it's because of the size of the memory card, and it's taking a little bit longer.
Ah, do you need a new memory card, Joel?
No, this is brand new.
On, like, eBay or... I don't understand what's going on.
Don't worry about
I'm
it.
I'm lost in the world.
If you're like given, if you're given the opportunity, would you take advantage of a trip into space?
A trip to space? Fuck yes. Although I did watch the movie with Anna Kendrick and Tony Colletti and the dude from Lost. I can't remember his name. But where they like they had like they go in there. They're all astronauts and they go into space. And then there's like some random. What do you call it? Like a stowaway or something? I think maybe the movie's called Stowaway or something to that effect. Where like this dude just like happens to accidentally be on the spaceship and they're running out of air and it's all very dramatic, very very dramatic. No aliens or anything, and you know nobody they didn't have to parachute back in all Sandra Bullock style, but it seemed actually like they were living this very mundane life, and that's the only reason why I might not want to go into space, because realistically, like you say, like go into space, and you're thinking like you go in this like big old Star Trek or Starship Enterprise type of, you know, like where you're like you're in this like or like the Millennium Falcon where you have to like zip around and stuff, but realistically, spaceships are kind of tiny, and there's not a whole lot of not a lot to do up there. So the ride itself would be pretty boring. Remember when you were a kid and you had to like you go on like a family vacation or something and you'd sit in the back seat and you'd be like, "Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we there yet?" That, but imagine it takes months instead of hours.
Yeah.
What about you? Would you go to space?
I don't think you've watched any space takeoffs. They're kind of rough.
No. Like the whole boom takeoff part. But once you're in space, then it's like, then it's just kind of like you're just drifting along. I think the takeoff part really only takes like what, like 10 minutes or something.
It's a long 10 minutes though.
Yeah, no, right. But after that, then it's an even longer 5-month trip to Mars. How about that? Is that what we're talking about? Or are we segueing into the trip to NASA's got a trip planned to Mars? Are you aware of this?
I was unaware of this.
Yes. Not only does NASA have a trip planned to Mars, I don't know when it's taking off, but so there's the one of the astronauts, this girl that's supposed to go along on the mission, is 19 years old. She's going to be the youngest astronaut, and she's going to go to Mars. She's like this super intelligent, she's well accomplished and everything too, like this amazing thing. And it kind of was like, nobody really talking about it. And that seems like something you would know about, and you didn't know about it.
I refuse to watch the news anymore.
I can't remember this girl's name.
My rule of thumb, if it's important, someone else will tell me about it.
Well, I think this is the point behind it, is like, there's, you hear about whether, you know, if Kim Kardashian gets pregnant again or something, like, we're going to hear about it, but yet, like, some 19-year-old girl who's the youngest astronaut ever is going to go to Mars doesn't really make the news.
I kind of had a seething fit of rage a couple of days ago. I was looking through, my phone will give
that
me...
That doesn't sound like you at all, Joel.
My phone will give me, like, headlines and shit, and then it said, Kim Kardashian's unhappy. I'm like, fuck that bitch. I don't fucking care. She's fucking unhappy.
Okay, what's she unhappy about, though, Joel?
I read the headline. That was way too much for me to read.
You weren't even angry about the article. You were just angry about the headline. The title of the article was enough to set you off.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now I'm kind of curious about Kim Kardashian, too.
Hope she burns in hell.
I think we could care about both.
No.
Okay. Well, I didn't know. Did she personally harm you, Joel? What did she do?
It's the fact of what has she done for society?
What the fuck have I done for society? Do you hate me?
No, but you're not on the news every time you take a shit.
Yeah, but, you know. I don't know. Kardashian probably did something. I bet if we dig far enough and deep enough. Like if you had to play the devil's advocate.
The sex tape. She did us fucking sex tape. That's what she's...
Hey, you know what? Don't say that like it's a bad thing. I appreciated that. I watched it.
My point is, she made a sex tape. You can make a sex tape. Why aren't you popular?
I probably couldn't make a sex tape. I'm not built the way Kardashians are built. Nobody wants to look at my dad bod and my belly fat flopping over top. That's not really... I take off my pants and there'd just be that line where my belt was around my waist. That's not really sexy. That's not what people are looking for in a sex tape.
There's something for everybody, Joe. Always remember that. Don't sell yourself short.
What kind of weird kink is somebody into? They want to look at this.
Hey, don't yuck other people's yums.
Like a boot stuck in the mud. Just... No, thank you. Yeah, I don't see that... I'm saying, like, the bulk of people wouldn't mind seeing Kim Kardashian naked. Because you can love her or hate her. She's built pretty well. But not a whole lot of people want to see my my back knee and ass hair on a sex tape. That's just not... That's not selling a whole lot there. Just saying. Sorry, we don't have a segue for that one. That was the end. That's all I got on that.
Well, you got in the back of there, and there's no segue from that.
Okay. Oh, Joel, I'm too sleepy to do a podcast today. Can we just call? Let's wrap it up now. Let's play some outro music and let's go take a nap somewhere. Yes. Not together, like separately. Like, I don't want to cuddle buddy with you or anything.
Just for that, I was gonna spare you this question, but now that you said that shit.
Oh no, fire it at me.
What's the most surprising thing you've learned about real estate so far?
About real estate. Oh, because I'm taking my real estate classes, which are... okay, so I can talk about real estate for a little while, because I can talk about real estate classes. I can't talk about real estate necessarily. Nothing really has surprised me just as of yet. Like, what surprises me is how much information that you need to know to become a realtor. Like, there's just, it's this insane amount of information. Now, to put this into perspective, I'm taking these online classes. Now, they break down in like different courses, I guess. I'm on course 12 or 13. I'm on 13, course 13, because I'm a little over 13 hours in. They're about an hour each. There are, I believe, somewhere in the neighborhood of 120 courses, and I'm only 13 courses in, and I've been steady doing this for like 2 weeks. I was talking about doing this a very long time ago. I was going to do it. Well, I'm finally actually doing it, so it's been a good, solid, actually, it's been a little over 2 weeks. It's been closer to three. That I've been steady into this. I'm only a fraction. I'm 13% of the way through my courses, and that's not even including the math class that I have to take on top of this, the real estate math class. So I think that's the thing that surprises me the most, is the insane amount of information that there is to become a real estate agent. And I'm really going to be super duper pissed if this is like one of those things that I sit and learn all of this stuff, and then like, once I get my real estate license and I can start selling, like, the only thing you need to know is where the fuck somebody hid the keys to get into the building. Like, if that's the only thing you really need to know, if you just need to open up doors and go, look it, and they go, ooh, we love it, then you sell it. If that's all I have to have, and I'm going to spend 100 plus hours, 120 hours learning this shit, I'm going to flip the fuck out. I'm going to start murdering motherfuckers. I'm like, here's your new Cape Cod. They're going to go, oh my gosh, we love it. Where do we sign? And I'm going to fucking stab them. I'm going to kill those people.
Do you know?
No, I won't. I won't kill them. I'll kill the people that go, we're not sure. We want to look at something else.
Do you not realize a lot of times it's a way of weeding out everybody else and just the people determined to do shit?
Is this to deter all the lazy and stupid people?
Uh-huh.
Because guess what? I'm both of those, and I'm not going anywhere, motherfuckers.
You say that now. I'll come back in about 20 hours.
Right. when I'm sitting in the shower, rocking back and forth, crying to myself. I don't want to do this anymore. I wish there was just a job that I was just like, I wish like I had a calling. Like, I wish like, you know, like some people, like they just know their entire lives that they want to be an airplane pilot, or, you know, they want to be an astronaut, like the girl that's going to go to the Mars or whatever. Like, I wish I had a thing like that where I was just like, I've always wanted to play the drums or some shit, you know, like something that just pulls me in a direction. I want to do too much shit. I think that's my problem, is I'm interested in too many things. I love too much. And that's where my biggest fault is. Like that's what holds me back from accomplishing anything, is I'm always like, because remember, I mean, like not that long ago, I was going to school for my EMT classes because I was going to become an EMT and then maybe a paramedic, or I was going to become, before that, I was going to be a nurse. And like, I feel like I've always wanted to do too many different things. That's probably why I was called towards acting. I should have became an actor. But that doesn't really pay the bills.
I'll tell that to Tom Cruise.
Yeah, no, well, I mean, like, once you make it big, I'm not telling shit to Tom Cruise. He weirds me out.
You mean Steve Buscemi? I mean, he's made it big.
Yeah, because of his sex tapes. Now you think Steve Buscemi did a sex tape, don't you?
No.
You were about to Google it. I know.
Fuck no. Why the hell would I do that? That's just stupid.
I don't know what you're into, Joel.
Not Steve Buscemi.
No, I don't know. I just, I really hope, like, I loved sales. When I was in sales, I did, even whenever I didn't do great at it, because when I first started in, I wasn't fantastic. No, actually, when I first started, I did really good. Then I kind of had, like, a slump. As time went on, I became pretty damn good at least with furniture sales. So I'm really hoping that housing sales is my calling, because I feel like I could do this. The biggest thing, I think, is going to be marketing myself, getting my name out there and getting people. Because, like, when you're younger, you can market yourself better. Because you're, like, people, like, when you're young, like, you're part of clubs, you can make a sex tape. There's all kinds of ways to get people to know you. And that's really pretty much what Kardashian does, is she just markets, the whole family really markets themselves, but Kim especially. Like, that's what they're famous for, is marketing themselves. Doesn't hurt that they have famous parents also, but...
What do their parents do?
Their real dad was, like, some business mogul or something. Like, he was, like, I don't know exactly what he did, but he was filthy fucking rich. Which is where all of their fortune came from, or at least most of their fortune came from. And then when Bruce Jenner was still a dude way back in the day, he was on the cover of the Wheaties box because he was an Olympian. So he was big time on that. He was also very well known. I can't remember what the mom did. I think she's just a gold digger.
So. Wonder where they get it from.
Yeah. I don't know, like, okay, so I've never really watched the Kardashian show, but I've seen it on TV. Like, I've never really sat through it. It's not something I'm into. Like, I don't like reality TV shows of any type or sort.
I think I really got a root canal than to watch them.
Well, here's the one thing that kind of kept me going back and checking in on it. And it wasn't so much me. It was just kind of like it was on TV more than a few times. Is there's a dude that was on the show, Steve something or other. I think his name's Steve.
Steve Smith.
No, it's not Smith. Joel.
Samsonite.
Nope. Keep guessing. Slappy. Maybe you'll get it. There's only like 700 billion last names in the whole world, so Snyder. Maybe if you try hard enough, you might. I'm not even sure it's beginning with an S. I think it was a D or a B. Anyways, Steve, whatever the hell his
Dumbledore.
Name is. He's funny as hell. The dude is just sarcastic and witty, and he's just like, something about him makes me want to keep going back watching the show.
The writer.
Co-writer?
The writer that wrote his lines.
No, I think he's just like a quick-witted dude. I think he's just like, he's got like that sense of sarcasm. Like, I get that a lot too. Like, I'm one of those people that like say something and I say a thing back.
You mean, you mean reply?
Who's a what now?
You mean a reply?
Yes, but a funny one. or like a sarcastic one, or something that shows a degree of personality and charm. Because anybody can reply.
Yes, but can you reply, I mean, most, say something deadpan, and then 5 seconds later go, wait, what the fuck did you just say?
Sometimes, I think. No, I'm usually pretty, it's usually a pretty quick reaction for me, I think.
No, I'm saying
you... It's a weird conversation.
No, I'm saying you make the reply, and it takes them a few seconds to process what you said. Not you, like, going, oh, yeah, you're stupid.
No. Yeah, no, I don't do that. And here's the thing, it's like, I attempt, at least, to be very original. Like, yes, there are times where you're hanging out and, like, you quote a movie or you repeat a joke you heard or something to that effect, but I make a pretty solid attempt to really, I feel like I'm good enough and smart enough to not have to be one of those people that, like, have those factory preset, responses to things. In a lot of ways, I do. Like, if you hang out with me long enough, you're going to hear the same shit over and over again. There's only so many Joe-isms, but they're at least mine, you know, for the most part. But I used to work with this dude, and him and I we got along really well, and we loved to torment each other. We used to make jokes. We used to, you know, like, just being guys, stupid stuff. And it was one of the things, like, we would do it, you know, like, we were on delivery together, so we would do it a lot of times, and even times when customers were around, and, like, he would say something, or, you know, like, he's just doing whatever. I can't think of any examples off the top of my head, but I remember that his favorite response was, "You're stupid," just like you said. Like, that was his only comeback, like, "Well, you're an idiot," and I'm like, that's not as good of a comeback as you really want it to be. Like, maybe you should work on that one just a little bit. Give a little bit of pepper to it. But yeah, and he used to do it, like, while we were in homes and stuff, and it made customers feel really awkward. They're like, and, like, you have to laugh it off and, like, turn it into a joke, but, like, that was, he was like, he really thought that was a good comeback. It was his only comeback. Oh, Joel,
memories.
They had me cleaning at work today. So at work we have this system, and it whenever you have a job that comes up, you have a work order, so they put through in the office, somebody will call in and say, you know, whatever problem they're having in their apartment. So I'm working in an apartment complex right now.
I saw a mouse in my bathroom,
something like that, you know, like, not necessarily, hopefully not that, but okay, that could be a thing that somebody would call in, or they say, like, my bathroom door is off the hinges, or a toilet's clogged, or whatever. Like, it could be a number of whatever could possibly go wrong. Same type of shit that if you, like, you've probably called your landlord over stuff before too. That's what I do. I get those phone, not that I personally get those phone calls, but the office gets those phone calls. So then the office says, okay, we're going to send us out to one of the maintenance people. Now, I'm technically not maintenance. I'm a porter, which is different, but it's not.
You keep saying that. You keep saying that.
It's, well, okay, so a porter is actually not maintenance. It's similar to maintenance in a way, but a porter is someone who, like, typically you'll find a porter in, like, hotels and stuff. And there's someone who will, they're like this liaison for the tenants, and they help with, like, let's say somebody comes in and they need, they need a menu brought up, or they need a light bulb changed, or, you know, things like that. It could be a form of maintenance, but it's not truly maintenance. Like, if a toilet's clogged, you send maintenance. If something's broken. So, like, my job is, like, it's basically a maintenance junior. They send me for stuff that is, like, no-brainer things. Like, if there's a mark in the wall and it needs to be patched and painted, that's my job. But if, like, let's say an air conditioner breaks, that goes to somebody else, because I don't know shit about fixing an air conditioner. So stuff like along those lines. Well, one of the things that I do, and one of your favorite jobs to toss me, is we call them make readies. Somebody moves out of an apartment, somebody's going to move into an apartment, we have to clean and fix and repair any damages, get it made ready for the next tenant. So, they like to send me these sometimes. Now, the first one they sent me on, I go into this place, and whoever lived there before, I'm pretty sure it was a Tasmanian devil, they fucked this place up, head to toe. There was all kinds of nicks and dings in the wall. The painting was just shit. The ceiling was garbage. There was every door handle was loose. There was like, I could go on and on and on and on and on about all the shit they fucked up in this place. So I come in and now I got to fix all of this stuff. So I go through, I'm fixing doors. I'm putting stuff back on. I'm reattaching, I'm fixing, screwed and painting more paint. It's just like this nonstop run of all this shit I got to do. Takes me days to do this. I think like 3 days. And I wasn't just doing that. Like, I'm doing other things as well. I'm also, I have to come in, I have to clean the office. I get the, now I'm in charge of the, like, the pool. I'm basically the pool boy. I'm also cleaning the office. So, like, there's a lot of shit that I do in my day. Like, I'm not just on one task all day. I get pulled back and forth constantly. Okay, so back to my story. So they send out these make-ready orders. Now, the first couple ones took some serious time because they were pretty screwed up. First one was really bad. After that, I had some other ones that were really not easy to do. I literally had to pull a cabinet out and then fix a hole in the wall, drywall. I had to do drywall. And so I get it all done and everything. Well, now, the other day, Wednesday, they send me a work order. And the work order says, whatever apartment, 102, whatever, have 102 ready by Wednesday. So I stop in the office and I'm like, when you say Wednesday, do you mean today Wednesday or next week Wednesday? They're like, no, we need this done by today. I go, okay, not a problem. I got a whole day to do it. I can do that. So then I do it. I turn it back over. Now Thursday, I come in. I do my morning routine stuff. Partway through the day, they send me another work order. And I had several different work orders, but they send me another work order along with a few other work orders, and they say, make ready in apartment, 103, whatever it is, ready by Thursday. So again, I'm like, now when you say Thursday, do you mean today or do you mean next Thursday? Like, no, again, today. Okay, because a little bit into my day now, so maybe, perhaps, you want to give me a little bit more time. But no, they don't. So I hustle it out. I get it all done. Wasn't too bad, thankfully. But could have been worse. So now I'm all done with my day today. Finished all up. I'm done. Bye, guys. See you later. I clock out. I go to get Brianna to take her to dance class. And on my way to pick up Brianna to take her to dance class, my phone goes, bing! And I look at it, and I have a work order for tomorrow for another make ready that they want done by noon. I'm like, in this direction, eventually, I'm pretty sure that by next week, I'm going to be getting work orders that say this needs to be done yesterday. Like, how much fucking time are you going to give me to start doing these? I have to have a work order ready. I have to have a whole apartment completely ready by noon. And my day starts, I have to clean the office. Takes me about an hour to do all the cleaning and get everything set and, you know, take out the trash and all the stupid janitorial bullshit that I do. Then I have to, like I said, I'm in charge of the pool now. Not like completely in charge, but I'm the guy who has to go up and skim all the leaves out of it. And they have this like weird little water vacuum thing that goes underneath that you have to vacuum the pool. And then you have to like brush the stuff. And then I also have to clean the patio area, clean off all the tables, all the chairs. It takes me till roughly around 11 o'clock to have all of that shit done. So they're basically giving me 1 hour to get done an entire apartment. So I'm pretty sure I'm just not doing shit tomorrow. I'm not cleaning nothing. I'm going to come in, I'm going to make sure the garbage cans are empty, and then I'm going to go work on an apartment. Because that's the way they treat me. I'm basically the bitch, Joel.
You don't say.
Yeah, dude. What's going on with you, Joel? I feel like I've been doing all the talking today. I feel like I'm not being a good friend. What's happening with Joel?
I have a team now.
Oh, nice.
No, it's not nice, Joe.
Oh, that sucks. You have an idiot team? Did they give you all the morons?
No, so I'm working this project at work, and now they want to give me developers to help write this project. Which means now, instead of me just writing something for myself, I got to write something so other people can understand what's going on. It's like, great, now I gotta write all this documentation. And that's not my cup of tea. I'm a problem solver. I fix shit and I make shit work.
So I don't understand. So what? Because are you writing something like?
I'm not writing code. I'm writing up a project to like basically categorize shit, and now they want to involve other developers to make it easier and faster. But I don't exactly know what I'm doing yet because it's still hypothetical. I've got proof of concepts of some of the ways it's going to work, but I don't have it all put together yet. And now they want these developers to have something to do. It's like, oh, great. Now I got to like divvy up work that I'm not even sure that I need yet.
I mean, that's not a terrible thing, I hope. I mean, it's obviously somewhat of a raise in how much they trust you.
I don't care about a raise in trust. I'd like a raise in money, but that's not going to happen. This is corporate America. They basically run you to the bone, grind up your bones, add some water and paste and seal up the holes in the wall.
Are you maybe being a little bit, I don't know, like hyperbolic, though? Really? Just maybe a little?
I'm sure they exhume my bones, though, so I guess they can't really do that. But I bet you if they could, they would.
Maybe the problem is your attitude. The problem's not the problem. The problem is your attitude about the problem. You know who said that? Johnny Depp.
So, Pirates of the Caribbean. Here's my solution. I try to be invisible. I do my work. I get left alone. Unfortunately, I screwed up, and people know that I do cool stuff, so now they want me to do cool stuff for them.
I think that you need to turn that frown upside down, and I'm willing to bet that this actually could be a good thing for you.
It could be a good thing, or it could be a whole catastrophe. Because I've been talking about this project for like 2 months now, and I'm finally figuring out how to talk about it to get people to understand what it's doing. But I haven't written it yet. So I feel like I'm selling something that doesn't exist yet, and when I actually build it to exist, it's going to just crash and burn.
do you really not have any faith in yourself on this one?
No, I have faith in myself. But now that all these important people are like, ooh, I want to see how this is going to work, now I'm like, oh, great. That's another set of eyes on me now.
Here's the thing. I give you a lot of shit about a lot of stuff, but this is something that I truly, honestly believe. Like, I'm not gonna torment you or tease you about this insecurity or anything. I'm gonna say that I really believe that you are fully capable of this, because I think that you're definitely a very intelligent person, you're a very capable person, and I think that this is just something that you just haven't done before. And I think that you just have this tendency sometimes to kind of look at something new and go, like, whenever like some new expectation or some new way of doing things, you get very set in your ways. You're definitely a creature of habit,
and it's more of a the spotlight's on me now, and I don't like the spotlight, because now any mistake I make, I actually had to do a presentation cold. Like, we had this 9 o'clock meeting, and the guy's like, hey, by the way, can you demo what you're working on right now? And I'm like, oh, yeah, I can do that. Fortunately, I had some stuff ready to go. And as I've been saying, I Captain Sullied that shit. Takeoff was a little rough, but at the end of the day, everyone got to go home.
I'm willing to bet this might be a very similar thing, just because I know you, and I know that you are, like, I have a lot of faith in you just in general, and it's what you're one of those people that, like, no matter what I feel is tossed your way, I know you could handle it. Like, you're an exceptionally smart person, you're an exceptionally capable person.
That's not the issue. The issue is I do great when no one's watching me. Like, I remember the one time, it was like the first day of school, that when I was working in the school district, and the internet went down. I'm like, oh, I got this. But then the principal, every 5 minutes, like, what's going on? What's going on? What's going on? I'm like, I haven't figured it out yet. Like, he kept, like, and then he started following me around. I'm like, this is not going to work.
Okay, so I know you don't like to work under pressure. I know you don't like, nobody likes to be watched.
No, I can work under pressure as long as no one's around. Like, I've had issues where it's like, okay, if I make a mistake with this, there's a lot of data that's going to be missing.
Somebody around is just a different type of pressure, though. I know you can do this. Like, I'm certain you can. Will you enjoy it? No, because nobody likes to have somebody standing over top of them. Which I gotta say, I guess I don't have to say this one, but I've noticed at my work, There's not, I'm kind of debating whether or not I should get out of this conversation.
I'm going to say this. I've got some people on my team that don't get excited about anything, and they're excited about this project. And the one guy who was like, I hate everything, was like, that looks like a good idea.
This is a good thing.
Yeah, I told my coworker, I'm like, this idea is invincible. Like, all the people who are going to hate it, don't hate it. But I still got to explain it to the layman people. So, like, prime example, I've been explaining this project for like a month and a half. And I decided to do like a mock-up of what the interfacing looked like to do some of the stuff with it. And all of a sudden, everyone claims they understand what's going on. I'm like, you're full of shit. I've explained this like 7 times in detail for a kindergartner, and you don't get it. I show you some shitty mock-up of a website that doesn't even work, and all of a sudden it all falls into place. I call bullshit.
That's how some people understand. Like, some people are just visual learners, and sometimes just that little bit of.
But I had live demos of how the stuff works and showing this is what you put in, this is what you get out.
No, I get, but I'm saying, like, I think you learn differently than other people do. So I'm well aware. When you look at something, when you look at something that's like that's very obviously, clearly, this is what it is, and you're like, okay, this couldn't be explained any more clearly. I do think that most other people look at it and go, what the fuck? Like, that, I'm like that. Like, you and I definitely have different ways of understanding things. You're very good with, like, sort of like, I guess, like that text. Learning, like, you're good, you can read something and understand it. Me, I'm more of a visual learner. Like, you can explain to me, you can show me something, or I'm sorry, you can tell me something in great detail, and I'm like, I don't get it. And then you literally go, okay, listen, turn it clockwise and put your hand on it and turn something clockwise, and I'll go, oh, turn it clockwise, yeah, okay, now I see it. And it's just one of those things that I don't always comprehend the text or the word I'm looking for. I've become dumber, Joel, is basically what I'm trying to get to here. But no, I think that just because you have a way of looking at something and understanding it better, and you do have trouble sometimes comprehending why other people can't understand what you understand.
No, I know why they don't understand it. It's when I make it so that I go to a 5-year-old and go, hey, look at this. And the kindergartner goes, okay, I get it. And I got a grown adult going, I don't get it.
Well, part of that might just be that they're not trying to get it. They're probably
And that's where the problem lies.
Well, but once sometimes you change the media, and that's enough to get people to go, okay, now I want to know. Because, like, and there's this, so I watched this this TED Talk, and this dude, he's actually YouTube famous. He's one of those dudes. I don't remember his name.
Is it Ninja?
Is it what?
Is it Ninja?
Maybe. I don't know who the fuck Ninja is, but let's let me tell you.
You don't know who Ninja is. Ninja.
No, who the fuck's Ninja?
The world's most famous video gamer and Twitch streamer around, and you don't know who Ninja is.
It might be him.
I doubt it's him.
That's possible. Did you do a TED Talk? No. Well, this was about video games. He does, like, all kinds of, like, cool shit on YouTube where he does, like, he's basically, like, an engineer, and he, like, builds all these. I've seen a lot of his YouTube stuff.
Is he the guy who made the Porch Pirate box?
The Porch? Maybe. I don't know.
He made a box where, like, if you stole it, it would, like, throw confetti and make a stink.
Yeah, I saw that, but I don't remember who made that one.
It's some engineer guy.
They got the kid from Home Alone to, after he redid it. He had Macaulay Culkin was in the second video or the third video or something like that. But this dude, he was. Now you've changed the subject so many times. I don't remember why I was talking about TED Talks.
TED Talks, the guy's engineer. He builds stuff, video games.
Oh. My point was that, okay. So he talks about how if you want to teach someone how to do something, he's like, if you tell them, he brought up like this number pad, like it had up, down, left, right, and then had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, whatever. And he's like, or it was just like 1 and 2 is what it was. So he's like, if you tell somebody press 1 for 5 seconds, then press 6, then while pressing 1, press 2, then press, and it's like this whole you know, like, do this for this much time, press this for this much time, and then press this. And it was like, and she's like, people are not going to want to learn this. People do not have any interest in this. They're not going to tolerate this level of education. For some people, this makes sense, but for other people, for most people, it's absolutely boring. And then he like changes the screen, and all of a sudden, the 1, 2, 3, 4 becomes up, down, left, right, and the 5 and 6 becomes A and B, and it's a Nintendo controller. And he puts up a little picture of Mario. He's like, now that's the what I was telling you was the algorithm or whatever for the first level of Mario, where you press this for this long, then you press A, B to jump to blah, blah, blah. Now it's a game. Now people are interested. Now people want to do this. Now people care about it. So, like, he gives you this whole big boring setup of like pressing and holding these buttons. You're like, why the fuck would anybody want to press and hold buttons for a certain period of time? And he's like, but now it's a game and people are interested in this. Now all of a sudden people care. And people want to learn all this stuff. And he goes on about how he wants to teach people and how people wants to make learning entertaining and blah, 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 blah. And I'm thinking that's kind of along the lines of what you had going on, where you're telling people, this is how you do, and this is my plan, and this is how it's going to work. And in your brain, it's exciting because you understand it. You have this.
Oh, it's not exciting in my brain. It's completely dry and boring.
Well, okay, but so in your brain, but you understood it because it was press 3 for 5 seconds, then press 7, then press.
Oh, that's another funny thing. So what I'm doing steals some stuff from how they use artificial intelligence for like figuring out language.
Okay.
Like when you talk to Siri or Alexa or all those things, some of the stuff technology I'm using is the basis for how they take the words and like normalize them so they can figure out what you want. Well. One of the guys I work with was like, this is like AI. I'm like, no, it's machine learning. No, it's not. But I'm like, it's not machine learning. Well, why not? I explain, he goes, are you sure it's not machine learning? I'm like, I'm positive it's not machine learning.
Well, and I think people get confused on that too, because if you ask most people, they're going to think, like, you ask somebody if Siri is AI, most people would probably say yes, but Siri is not AI. It's automated responses. This is not an artificial intelligence. It's an automated response built into a voice command.
Mm-hmm.
So, which is different. And I think people have trouble, not necessarily have trouble. I think people it's just the level of ignorance, and not in a bad way. I don't believe the word ignorant is bad. Ignorant just is the lack of knowledge of something.
Ignorance is bad. Ignorant is bad.
Ignorant isn't a real word. Ignorant is, and that's, I love how ironic it is that people misuse the word ignorant.
I'm pretty sure I can find at least 10,000 people on this planet that will use it as a word.
And those people are, in fact, ignorant of the word ignorant. They are, ironically, don't know what the word ignorant means. And I love it. Like whenever my mom used to call me a son of a bitch, would you go, thank you. I was thinking the same thing, but I didn't want to say it because you would have beat me. Hey, Joe, I think that's all the time we have for today. All right, everybody. Thanks for joining us here on Stream of Conscious Podcast. Be sure to like, subscribe, follow, and blah, 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 blah. You never do it anyways, and if you already have done it, then thank you, and if you don't do it, then you can go to hell. We'll be here again next week, and I feel like we gotta have a better outro. We've only been doing this for what, like 210 episodes or something now.
This will be 224.
224 fucking episodes. You think we'd be better at going away? And
disco.
Disco. Love you. Bye bye.